Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're continuing our examination through the book of Hebrews, and we're in that 11th chapter, the great chapter about the faith of the men of old and the women of old also. And we saw in the 7th verse, I believe, where it was the faith of Noah. And so we've gone back to Genesis to sort of just walk through that story of what happened with Noah and the flood. We're up to the 9th chapter now, so they're out of the ark. Okay, and they're out of the ark, the entire family, everyone who survived. Now, give real close attention to this. Verse 1, Genesis chapter 9. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. We talked a little bit about this in the previous episode, but we see a picture here again of God giving man another opportunity. He's given man a place to begin again. He'd said the same thing to Adam and Eve. Be fruitful, multiply, fill, subdue the earth. The idea behind that, particularly with Adam and Eve, is that God created man to join with him in the creative process of expanding his kingdom over the entire world. The Garden of Eden geographically was a defined area, a relatively small defined area, particularly in comparison to the body of the size of the earth. And he said, I want you to go out and I want you to do this. God could have done whatever he wanted to with a simple thought. But he loved the idea of mankind and still does so much that he wanted us to join with him in creating his kingdom here on earth. So he's telling Noah the same thing with his sons. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Now verse 2. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every bird of the heavens, upon everything that creeps on the ground, and all the fish of the sea, into your hand they are delivered. So after the flood, there's some major hints in Scripture that things were substantially different, which tells us that things were different before the flood. At the end of the 8th chapter, we saw that God said, now you will have winter, spring, summer, and fall. The idea being that perhaps they did not have that before, that we didn't have seasons in the way we have it. Now he's saying that the fear and dread of every beast on the earth would be there. In other words, the default position of the animals would now be fearful of man. Well, does that mean that before that they were not fearful? More than likely, that's what that means. Verse 3, something else happens. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. As I gave you the green plants, I give you everything. So now God is giving them meat to eat. Prior to the flood, they only ate from the green plants. They only ate what God had defined. What was it? The fruit with the seed in it, I think. As you saw in Genesis, the early part of Genesis 1, 2, and 3. And so now he's saying, now you can have the flesh of a beast. Apparently they didn't have that before. When you wonder, well, why is that? I think there's several things. We're not told, but I know that the environment was different now. Okay, the environment was different. When you see what happens to mankind after this period of time, you see that man starts living substantially shorter lives, down from the 700-800 years of life to 600 years of life, and then quickly down to 300, 200 years, and then several generations of that, down to where the maximum that you see people live is 120 years or so. So things had changed within the environment. But God gives them every moving thing as well as the green plant. Verse 4, he says this, but you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. So God defines here in the 9th chapter of Genesis, what we will see later on, that life is in the blood. He said, you don't eat the animals with its life in it, with its blood. Again, the idea is that you cook it. Okay, you don't eat it raw. Then he says a couple more verses about this. Now listen to this. And for your lifeblood, I will require a reckoning. From every beast, I will require it, and from man. From his fellow man, I will require a reckoning for the life of man. And you go, what is this reckoning all about? What is this lifeblood? Let me read this again. And for your lifeblood, I will require a reckoning. From every beast, I will require it, and from man. From his fellow man, I will require a reckoning for the life of man. Well, something's going on here about the importance of lifeblood, the importance of life, and some type of reciprocity if something's going on. Well, the next verse helps us tremendously. Genesis chapter 9, verse 6 says this, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image. Whoa, okay, that's what he's talking about. He's doing a little sidebar discussion here about the lifeblood and the blood being the source of life. And that if man sheds the blood of man, then that man's blood will be required also. Why is it? Because man was made in God's image. We've seen some things said about that before. When God made man, he made him in the image of God. What does that mean? And why is it being reiterated right here at this moment in time? The Lord's just reminding us some things. He's building some things for us to understand in the scripture. For us today, know this. We are called to be fruitful and multiply, to fill the earth. Here, it was literally expanding the earth. It's very much a picture of what we are supposed to do within the kingdom. We'll talk more about this as we go. Again, I'm Dale. Thank you so much for your time. I'll see you next time. Goodbye.